Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
It's the holiday season. Oh, I already did that.
Yeah, that was last week. Hickory Dick. Another good show coming your way, and we don't have any guests, but we have some very interesting topics to talk about. Some current events, topical and relational information, and we have Mark and Easton and Becky and the whole crew here. So we want you guys to chime in today since we don't have any guests, because people don't want to listen to us for the next hour.
I don't know, though, because I was just about to say, why do you need guests when we're the perfect train wreck? People love to listen to the... I mean, someone had said to me on Instagram just recently, I love listening to your podcast. It's like the perfect train. Like, you don't want to train wreck. Like, you don't want to look away. And I was like,
great.
Thanks.
We're like a car crash. You just want to rubberneck as you drive by and say, at least that's not me.
Is that what you say when you see a crash?
No, I more so pray for them and hopefully everyone's okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
I would like to start off as the producer, Mark, and be like, where's the energy today in the room? I feel like you're annoyed.
You feel like
you're
I'm annoyed?
You're welcome, Mark. I'm trying to get the goods.
First of all, I feel like you've been frustrated with me this morning for whatever reason.
Okay.
A little on edge. And then I'm not annoyed. It's just so I have to remind myself that, you know, swipe ups and stuff that Jana does is basically why we're able to be in the house that we're in. But being in the room while she's posting those and having to type the things, and she has the slide, the sound on. So you just hear the same thing over and over and over and over again for like 10, 15 minutes as she does the stuff that she has to do. Now, fortunately, Jana calls herself out and she's like, shut up, Jana.
I do.
But you have the sound on, which...
Which I need.
Which
yeah.
I have more empathy towards now after doing Mike Monday. Uh-huh. And having to do some of those myself, I get why you need the sound on. I don't get why you need it all the way up to 11, but I get why you need it on. And so I'm sitting here ready to do our podcast, and I just hear for five solid minutes, get your, what was it?
Hello Body, which by the way, I Hello love Body. Hello Body.
I love Hello Body too. Get your Hello Body right now before Christmas. Swipe up, 40% off, swipe up, swipe up. And I'm just like, okay, like any minute now she's going to be done. And then another 5 minutes. Any minute now she's going to be done. Another 5 minutes.
That's exaggeration. It took me 5 minutes to post it.
Which if you sit there and time it and sit here and listen to that for five solid minutes, it feels like a lot longer.
I'm sorry for providing but, for our family.
But other than that, I'm great. Other than that, I'm fantastic. So what about you?
Are you though?
I am. Because I felt like this morning you're like, we got to move this tree in our room. We got to.
I'm the kind of person when there's clutter in my way, at one, like, I let it go, and then I'm like, this fucking tree needs to move. Like, it's been in, and you're like, it's not in your area. I'm like, it's halfway in my side table. Like, I just want it back to where it's at, like, the original place. And so I just kind of, I let things go until I just snap. Until I'm just like, and I want it in its right place.
For the record, let's just say, include that it could be your stuff too. That you'll just let go, and then you'll just snap at your own stuff and be like, all right, I got to put this away.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, most times it's not, but you know.
What? I beg to differ.
Okay.
Mark, you leave more stuff around the house than I do.
I leave shoes. I don't leave them in the middle of the room, though.
Jana's got a pair of shoes in every room in this house.
Right, I do. Granted. But I do not leave them in the middle of the room. They are placed nicely in the corner of every room. Like my white shoes are in the corner by the thing. And I move the other pairs. But at least I don't leave them in the middle of the room. Like I'm not tripping over the shoes.
Where do you trip over shoes?
Oh my God, your stupid sandals. I trip over them. I'm so glad we have couples therapy after this. Mark, you want to chime in or are you just going to let this train go for a bust?
You know, there's a balance there because a lot of times I need to be quiet and let it play out. But I will say, you know, you and Mike, you have a lot of issues on this podcast that are major and make us fear for your future. This is none of those things, and that's good, I think. I think this is positive. This is so typical COVID lockdown married couple bickering. This is going on in every house in America.
Jana and I, I'm
just enjoying this.
You know what? I'll second that with saying Jana and I dreamed about the day that we would have normal marriage arguments. And we are there. We're having normal marriage arguments. Move that tree. Move your shoes.
I just love it that Mark even's like, we all fear your relationship, but this one's actually like normal.
Can I tell you something that I think you might get a kick out of?
Yes, sure. Please.
We got an email from you guys saying we're running 10 minutes late.
Oh, we're fighting.
Every time we get that email, we're like, uh-oh.
I totally hear you on that. That makes so much sense.
It makes all the sense in the world.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and granted, because, you know, a married couple working together, you're going to have your...
Yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard, when, especially when you have to put on a face and come on and talk about relationship shit.
No, really, though, this time running 10 minutes late was just because Mike was annoyed because I was doing swipe ups.
No, it was because you ran longer on the treadmill than you expected. You really went after it today.
Yeah.
You took a shower and you wanted to do that post before we podcasted. And you said, we don't have any guests today, so can I finish this before? I said, sure, I'll email the team.
And meanwhile, the team's like, oh, crap.
Like, oh, no.
We're in for it today. Make sure Mark's on here. He's got to produce this shit.
Mark will really get it out.
Mark will really get it out of him.
Exactly the conversation.
Uh-huh.
And really what it is I want this tree to move. He wants me to put my shoes away. He wants me to turn down the volume of my Instagram. What else, honey? Is there anything else?
It goes back to the underlying topic, or really the big picture here of, I don't think men say as much to their significant others, female significant others, about that stuff. Like, because I'll give you the benefit of doubt. She'll move that when she's ready. But for when it's the other way around, women are like, well, this is here. You got to move it.
So I don't know, but I've done a test. I've been testing you on something.
That's not triggering. I love being tested.
No, it's like a stupid test.
Let's hear it.
It's about exactly what you were saying.
Let's hear it.
So I have left a bag in the bathroom for the last month. Now, granted, it's on my side. Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you noticed it at all?
Yes.
Okay. So the bag has been sitting on my side of the shower. Not in really in my way, but it's still in our communal area. And I'm like, I'm going to leave it there until he says something. And by the way, it's been driving me mad. Like bonkers. And it's been a month and he still has yet to say something.
The defense rests.
So has he passed the test or failed the test?
I've passed.
I think you passed.
Right. But he's passed in the negative sense.
So now I'm supposed to ride her ass and say something about it.
No, but it where my case rests is that I'm like, guys just don't care that shit is laying everywhere. You don't care.
True.
And that bothers me.
But I have my breaking point with like my stuff too that's laying around or things that are cluttered. I have my breaking point too, but for you, that bag doesn't affect me in any way, shape, or form. I don't walk over on that side of the shower. It's on your side. I have nothing in the linen closet that it's by. So really, it didn't bother me. And I keep seeing it. I'm like, well, I know how she is. If she wants to move it, she'll move it. And, you know, I feel as a guy too, because maybe I'll leave more things laying around. If I say something, my fear is that you're not going to take it receptively, and you're going to be like, well, you got to move your shoes. I'm like, damn, like, okay.
Yeah, you've given him a test that's impossible for him to pass.
I do hear you. Now that like you say that, I understand that, and I can empathize with that, because I'm like, you know what, actually, I think I would be upset if like you said something, because I'd be like, well, why don't you move the stuff next to your like table? But I think the point is that like you don't Like, men just don't care that there's stuff not in the right place. And I think as a woman, that drives me mad because I'm like, I would love to move the stuff that's been next to your, like, table for a while and find its place. And I don't get it.
This is our number one goal all day, every day.
In your marriage?
I think I'm speaking for married men.
Okay.
Avoiding conflict.
Uh-huh.
We just want peace. Mm-hmm. So if there's my wife's clothes on the bathroom floor, I don't care. Fine. Do your thing. It's really okay. The bag in the bathroom, it's fine. I don't want to have an argument. I'd much rather deal with a bag on the floor than have an argument.
And your wife?
If it's my clothes on the floor of the bathroom,
she'll say
it's
something.
A different situation.
And if she said something to you, and if your response was anything but, oh yeah, honey, I'll get that right away, there would be conflict. If
That's
it was...
correct.
Why are you riding me about this? Or why don't you pick up yours? It would be conflict.
Because the most time we pick up our stuff and put it back. That's, I think, where like the annoyance is. Because most of the times we do pick up our stuff and put it to where it belongs. And so it's frustrating when we're like, don't you respect the communal place? Now you can look around now and find things in their room. But most of the time.
Your nightstand is notoriously filthy.
I don't want to hear it.
Notoriously
you have,
filthy.
Like the most random stuff, like that just stays on the nights. I'm constantly cleaning the nights.
No, you're not.
I mean,
oh my Lanta. This is.
I will say though, so we were having a girls' night the other night, and every single woman there was like, "We have to say something to our husbands. Like it's just a part of our." And I was like, and I went to therapy going, why do I always have to say something? Like what part of me, like what am I needing? What am I looking for? Why am I always wanting to say something?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she really brought it around and made me understand it a little bit more. And, you know, at the end of the day too, it is just like a woman man thing. Like we just mm-hmm. want things put away and we are more inquisitive and we have more questions. And like Mark, it's like you guys don't, because you just want peace and you don't really care at the end of the day. You don't care.
No, it's not that we don't care. See what's happening. This is why sometimes we feel like we can't win.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
By avoiding conflict has created conflict.
Yep.
Right? If he'd said something about the bag, it would have caused conflict. He decided not to say something about the bag, and now there's conflict about how he doesn't care about his living space. Do you see how that's a no-win situation?
I do, but do you see how we might take it as you guys don't care?
But what are we supposed to do then?
Just clean up your shit.
But it was your shit.
But it was your shit.
Care about me cleaning up my shit.
But then if I do, and then I have something that happens to be out of place in that moment, you guys would bring it up.
Yeah, and I don't know why we say it more. I don't know why it bothers us more. Like, I really don't. Like, what we need in that moment. Like, what is it that we feel? Like, why we're saying those things?
I don't know.
And I don't know if it is. And you, like, you know, to what Mark's point is, like, it doesn't mean we don't care. It's just, maybe it's just not y'all's priority, too. Maybe not priority. And I'm not saying your priorities are whatever. It's just a man versus a woman. Like, we just, we don't care about things, but we just... Well, I don't know. Is it putting the effort in or?
I think there's something underlying for women where it's like not to generalize, but I feel like most women tend to see how we handle a certain situation and mimic that to maybe what we feel about y'all.
Well, that's
so
what my
you're like,
said,
well,
yeah.
If he doesn't care about this bag, that means he doesn't care about me. If he doesn't care about keeping this house clean, does that mean he doesn't care about this family and care about me and care about what I need? And so it's like y'all, you know, you get on me about taking things personal.
Yeah.
But it's like those kind of things, the day-to-day things, women tend to take more personally as a reflection on how we feel about y'all.
Yeah, and that's something my therapist said. She's like, what's really underneath the question? Like, why are you really asking it? Like, is it because that you feel like he doesn't care, or is it because... You know, and there was different answers for different questions.
Mm-hmm.
And some were just like, but it's funny though, because every single woman at that girl's night was just like, oh, I do that all the time. Like, for example, when her husband came home with too many groceries, why'd you have to get more groceries than what I, you know, why'd you have to get double of that? Now I don't have room. It's like, well, why does she have to say that? But it bothers her that he gets more groceries. And like, she has no room to fill in her pantry. And she likes things order and neat and And he's like, why? Who cares? I got an extra peanut butter, you know? But it's just, I don't know. It's just interesting. Like, why we always have to say something.
Yeah. You're preaching in the choir right here. Mark and I are like, yeah, that's a great
question. It is fascinating.
It is fascinating.
So back to the bag. I think maybe the correct thing for Mike to do to pass the test would have been to go through the entire house, make sure every one of his things is put away, and then go to you and say, hun, that bag's kind of in the way, and then brace for impact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would have been nice if he put his stuff away. I think it was just like, I'm trying to be like, well, you don't put your stuff away, I'm not going to put my stuff away.
But that's where it's not even like conflict, avoiding conflict. That's partly it. But the other part is I genuinely do give you benefit of the doubt. Like, I'm just like, okay, if she'll put that away. She's an adult. You know, if it was something sitting in the middle of the room, yeah, that's one thing. But it's not something affecting me, you know, directly.
Mm-hmm.
But you're an adult and you'll put it away. You know what I mean? It's like, my side of the closet's a mess right now, and I got to put those clothes away. And it's like, yeah, if it was like that for a long period of time, I'm sure you would say something. Anybody would.
I've never seen your side of the closet clean.
It's like as soon as I do, it gets dirty again. It's so like, frustrating.
I mean, the last house that we were in, thank God we had different closets, and I was just able to shut it.
Mm-hmm.
But now our closets are together. It's a small closet. It's way smaller than any closets, minus the LA home, but... You know, it's a small closet, and it is. I have to purposely not look left because it just gives me anxiety.
But my
does it feel like we're leaving things for you to clean up? Is that kind of part of this? Because I feel like if my wife leaves dirty dishes in the sink, oh, she'll get to those. She in her mind is gonna get to them later. If I leave dishes in the sink, I'm leaving them for her to deal with. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm thinking I'll just deal with them later. That's the perception. You know, I think it's kind of similar his clothes on the floor. It's like he's leaving them for you to clean up or for you to deal with. It's like a mom-child thing.
Right.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. I felt something in me when you said that.
Because even to support that theory, Mark, Jana has made comments before. Hey, you know, the dishwasher's like dirty. You know, it's empty. You can throw stuff in there.
Yeah, because you've been leaving them just in there. And I will say this.
Let me finish.
Okay, sorry.
Jana will do the same at times. I've never said anything. I've either left them there or I've just put them in the dishwasher. But I don't say, hey, I guess I'll put your plate in the dishwasher. I just do it. It's just there. You know, so it's like the why say something? It's a dirty dish. If it was an everyday thing that was constantly happening, that's one thing. But you and I share the dish's responsibility.
You have. You've just got a little lazier lately. With not putting it in. I'm just saying. Like, you have like a little... I've been emptying the dishwasher so much and you've just been like leaving your plates there. I'm like, it takes 2 seconds to put it in the dishwasher. I told you that.
We empty it in equal amount.
Right, but there was about a week there where it was just like, babe.
Right, see, and that's what happens. A week goes by and it happens a couple times and then all of a sudden it's this big...
Not this big thing. I didn't
like
say...
pandemic that's happening.
No, we are in one, yes.
Within our household. Pandemic within a pandemic. The inception of a pandemic in our household that, well, you know, Mike, he just really leaves his plates around.
You know what? I need to take a break. And I'm going to go empty the dishwasher. Go ahead, babe. What do you got for us?
All right. So Dancing with the Stars. That's your squad. Chrishell Stouse is dating your boy Keo.
I love Keo. I texted him the other day and was like, you finally found your queen. Because when I was on Dancing with the Stars, he was always, and he's got that accent, and he's just like, you know, always said like, I'm trying to find my queen. That's not his accent at all. But I'm just like, he's the most lovable. I loved him so much. He was probably my closest dancer guy friend there, and I'm just so happy for him. Like, I truly am. Because, and he was just like, oh, here, I'm gonna tell you what he said back. I think it's fine. He said to me, I texted him, Keo, I said, "Oh, you finally found your queen. Happy for you, babe. The most deserving." And he goes, "The queen I will cherish forever. Thank you, my hun." I'm just like, it's so sweet.
That is sweet.
And she deserves love because, I mean, we had her on our podcast and mm-hmm. she was so sweet. And I don't know what happened with her and Justin, but it seemed like it. She was kind of shocked by it all. So I hope that they last and they work out. I mean, it worked for Artem and Bella. Bella? Is that her name?
Yeah. Nikki Bell.
Yeah. So
was they were partners,
but no first kid. But I mean, these Chrishell was partners with Gleb. And I felt bad because Gleb is getting divorced. And so everyone thought like that was
right.
So I felt really bad that she got looped in again to like drama of that.
Right.
So.
Well, good for them.
There's an age difference though, because Keo's younger.
Yeah, but I mean, what, 8 years?
I feel like she's older.
Mm-hmm.
8 years. I don't know. I mean, I kind of like, I feel like if it's an 8 year difference, like that man's going to treat her like a total queen. Or there could be a maturity, but I don't think Keo's immature.
No, I mean, he's in his 30s, right? Yeah, he's 31. She's 39. So I think when you're into your 30s, you've matured enough.
I don't know, man.
I mean,
I dated some older dudes that were like 20 years older and they were not mature.
Oh, for sure. We're still big kids, but
yeah.
I mean,
I'm happy for them though.
Yeah.
I have a theory that all men are 12 years old inside. We're just pretending to be grown-ups.
Yep.
1000%.
And I wonder if that contributes to the whole, not to go in circles, but the whole cleaning up after you, the dishes in the sink. I wonder if that contributes to it, because once you get to know a guy long enough, you realize he's just a kid
yep.
that I'm dealing with here.
And I kind of want to asterisk that too, because Mike will always say to me like, stop being like my mom, or my mom would say that. And I'm like, I'm not a mom. I am a mom. I'm not your mom. But I am a wife, and a wife and a mom are very similar.
It's very parental.
Yeah. So it's like, but that, you know, then don't, I'm sorry. Like, I am a mother and I don't want to be your mom, but because I am a wife, it's still something that a wife would get frustrated with.
That's like, I've told my therapist this. I've probably told our couples therapist this too. It's like, if I go do something for myself, whether I play golf, maybe play video games or do whatever, I feel the most confident going to do that when I know I've done everything else I could possibly do from a production standpoint. Like, there's nothing that's outstanding that needs to be done that Jan has asked me. You know, it basically feels like my chores are done, right? Mm-hmm. Any work stuff is done, any chores are done. And I feel comfortable and confident, like, no matter what she has to say, I'm like, my shit's done. Like, what do you want from me? But that's the only time I truly feel confident doing something for myself.
So is that my fault, or is that because it's the mommy-son role?
I think it's a mix of both, because I can simply just not be affected by maybe what you have to say. If you like, well, you didn't finish this. You said you're going to finish it and you're going to go play golf.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, it's where's the fire? I can get it done tomorrow. I'm sorry you feel that way. So I can control my reaction, not take it personally and not take it as parental, but that's difficult at times. So
Mark.
I mean, I do think it goes both ways. I think that the husband and wife relationship, it's not just because the wife is naggy that it becomes a mother-son kind of dynamic. It's because the guys do it too. It's our love of, I don't know, video games or the foods that we love, you know, eating hot dogs and stuff like that we're still 12 years old. So I don't think it's all on you, but I get where Mike's coming from. And I also get that we tend to recoil when we're treated like you're our mom, even though we've kind of put you in the position to act like our mom.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
So, yeah, it goes both ways.
Do you got anything else for us?
Yeah. How about this? So this was an article on the New York Post, okay? An Instagram model helps women catch cheating men by sliding into their DMs.
Genius. Trust me, I've thought of... I thought of trying to, there was this one thing. It was called like a, oh my God, what was it called? There was some company where basically it's a like a catch of cheaters, but it was called something, and it was almost what I was going to do, like before, like I found out about things. Mm-hmm. It's like you hire someone to basically, I'm like, okay, my husband's at Publix, go. And you hire this woman to go and basically try to like slide in and see what they're going to do. It's genius. Having said that, it's fire because what dude isn't going to be? I mean, this model's beautiful.
Yeah, but, you know, I was reading it and she actually said only a few lied and said they were single. She said that actually most of the men either didn't answer, they said something mean to her, or informed her that they had a girlfriend or were together. So I was encouraged to hear that.
Huh.
Say that happens in a new relationship and someone does that from like early on in the relationship.
Does what?
Does this. Say you know, a new relationship does this. Maybe they have some reasons, or maybe the person has insecurity.
Does what though, babe?
Does like has someone try to catch their partner.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the partner and you find out about it. Like, do you think they could recover after that? Like, if there's no infidelity at all, no cheating at all, been together 6 months to a year, still new relationship, and your significant other sets you up like that, but there isn't anything to be found, and you say no and deny it, and you find out that, you know.
If I got set up like that, and I would think for the guy too, if they got, like, I would, that's sneaky, and that's crappy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to randomly set someone up, I'd be like, F you, man.
Yeah. That's like, what I'm saying.
Dude. Not cool. Like, I would be like, bye. Now, if
wait,
it's...
Wait, was it a genius just like 5 minutes ago?
Only if they're like a cheater. Like, if to see if they would cheat again. That's why I would do it. Sorry. I guess I misspoke there. It's only if it was... If they were like...
That makes sense.
Have already cheated. To that be like, makes sense. Let's see if he'd do it again.
That
because
makes
you,
sense.
Most people are like, I won't stay with you if you do it again.
Right.
Like, if you did... If, you know, if you had an Instagram or whatever, if I had this person come out to you and I was like, all right, I just want to see and see what you do, and you go forward with it, there's my answer. I can't be with you.
Right.
Because some people just need to know, like, will it happen again? And to be able to control that, to know, like, personally, it'd be easy to be like, okay, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were that quick to, like, catch the bait.
Right. But if someone, if there's been no issues of infidelity in a relationship and someone does that,
then I don't think it's genius. I think that's, you're just playing with fire, first of all, it's rude.
Yeah, I would have a hard time, honestly, staying with the person if they did that to me. Like, that would be, like you said, it's so sneaky. Mm-hmm. It's like, why not just come talk to me?
Well, and I'm sorry, but you're going to find, like, it's not smart. Like, if they've not done it before, you probably don't want to know if they would. Do you know what I mean, Mark?
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing with fire in two ways. You're playing with fire in the sense that you might find out something you don't want to find out. But also, if the guy realizes what you've done, he's going to be furious that you would test him like this. So it's a double playing with fire. Because, I mean, the women who have done this, according to this woman, you know, they're lucky that their guy sees this random DM from somebody and just ignores it and moves on. Because if they delved into it and found out what you were up to, really, it's the end of the relationship. So mm-hmm. I think this is probably a bad idea. But to your point, Gianna, that makes sense, because you're going to need some assurances along the way that everything's cool.
Yeah.
And so maybe this is genius for that.
Like, a very close friend of ours had... Her husband was a sex addict, and she's like, I want to know if he'll do it again. And so she had created this like fake email and was like, meet me at this hotel. And he bit and he showed up, and she was there. And yeah. And so it was like, you're done. Like, I can't do this with you anymore, you know? So it's just one of those things. It's like, you just got to be careful what you're putting out there, because most likely if the person's already done it, they might bite again.
Yeah, sticky situation.
And also, if somebody's done it before, you, the goal should be to keep them away from temptation as much as possible, right? Because they've proven they're weak. Right? So laying bait for them, it just seems counterproductive. If you can keep them away from all bait, you might have a shot.
Here's the deal, though. I mean, with our relationship, like, you know, he's going to find the bait regardless. I can't, like, you know, yes, I would like to have boundaries so that he won't see a lot of bait. But at the end of the day, if he wants bait, he's going to go get bait.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, both are accurate. Mm-hmm. You don't want to throw, you know, meat in the lion's cage, and you also don't want to, you know, and if you really wanted to find it, then you'd go get it. Mm-hmm. So both are definitely accurate. Let's take a break, and then I want to touch on something we talked on earlier. Okay. All right, so we were talking Dancing with the Stars earlier. We're talking about Artem and Nikki. And they were having a conversation. I think Artem's, I guess now brother-in-law, Nikki's sister's husband, was asking him about sex during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, like, it felt weird at first, and it is a mental thing. And, you know, but then Nikki was saying, I mean, you guys are dealing with those hormones, so you guys are horny and riled up and want to have more sex. And then guys, at first, it is a mental thing. It is a weird concept to get around, like, that you're, you know, your baby's in there.
You ain't poking him in the eye, though.
But still, I get what Artem's saying, that it is weird at first. Like, you get over it, but it is weird at first.
Why?
Mark? Help me out here.
Mark's like, I loved it.
Well, I didn't have an issue, but I get the weirdness of it, because you are traversing the same path the child will traverse in just a few months.
Right.
You know, you're sharing that canal, which is a little bit weird.
I think it's beautiful. I don't get the weirdness. I think it's, I felt the sexiest when I was pregnant. I love, like, minus having hyperemesis and terrible pregnancies, I loved being pregnant. But, and I love, like, the belly, and, you know, I thought I felt attractive, but clearly.
You're beautiful.
It's not about that.
No, it's not. And that's the thing. When I had a hard time at first, you know, I empathize that, of course, y'all would take it that way, take it personal and stuff. But it is, like Mark was saying, you're sharing that canal and your baby's in there. And it's just, but once you get past it, you're past it.
So to the men out there that are, you know, or to the wives, so don't take it personal.
Right. Don't take it personal. Don't give up. Like, just stay with it, both of you. Like, you know, you'll get there. You'll get to the comfort level. And, yeah. But don't. Just take your time. It'll be okay.
And think about not your baby.
Not poking Jason.
Don't
in the
think
eye.
About the baby.
You're and not also after close.
After a couple of weeks, you're going to be ready and you're not going to care as much.
What do you got for us? What's next?
We got any emails, Mark?
As a matter of fact, we do. All right, this is from Brittany. How do you guys feel about your significant other looking at provocative photos of other women or men? Whether it's porn or just from Instagram or websites like Chive that have these types of photos and GIFs, does it make you feel insecure or take away from your relationship at all? My boyfriend says every guy looks at some form of this, and if he says he isn't, then he's lying.
I'm not answering this.
I think she wants your perspective on it.
So I was ignorant like this boyfriend in my younger years and thought it was normal and thought every guy looked at this kind of stuff, and I did. And, you know, Jan and I had issues even in the past 4 years of that kind of behavior coming back up. And it took, you know, I had to change my mindset around it, because before I was in a 12-step program for addiction and all that, and I just kind of wrote it off as guy doing guy stuff. It's no big deal. You know what? Some guys are able to do that, and that's fine. Some guys, some relationships can, some women can, some guys can, and it doesn't take anything from the relationship, and that's fine. For me, learning the hard way multiple times, it did take away from my relationship. It took away from my connection with Jana. It And it just, you know, and I was finally able to realize and empathize that objectifying another woman is harmful not only to my relationship, but it's disrespectful to Jana. You know, and that's the way I look at it now.
Every relationship is different. Some relationships go to strip clubs together. They bring other people into the bedroom together. So every relationship has different rules and different things that they're comfortable with. So Brittany, if you're not comfortable with him doing this, you need to make that clear, and he needs to respect that. And if he doesn't respect that, then there's other going to be other stuff that you want him or don't want him to do that he's not going to respect. So he needs to listen to you on this. And if he doesn't, it's a red flag.
I second Mark.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Now she needs, now Brittany needs to come to him in an approachable way.
Well, for sure.
And be, you know, open to things and having the discussion and just sharing her heart with him and sharing how she feels about it. And she, and, you know, sharing, I make up that the way she takes it is like she, he's choosing the other things over her. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, he's not going to respond well to this. He's going to say, you can't tell me how to live my life. Don't be my mother.
Right.
He's going to recoil. But in the end, and maybe that's how he has to process it. But in the end, he needs to respect your wishes.
And in the end, Brittany, like, you'll find someone that won't put importance in that or care.
Yeah.
They'll care more about you than being like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Yeah, like, I don't need to look at this.
Yeah.
And similarly, there's things you would do that he would not want you doing. He would not want you maybe having lunch with a male coworker or something at a two top. You know, there are things that he would not be comfortable with either. And you need to respect those of his. It's got to go both ways.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Next email. Jessica says, my boyfriend and I have been together for 2.5 years, and it hasn't been a perfect fairy tale, to say the least. This week, I find out that he cheated early in our relationship, sometime within the first year of us dating. He refused to tell me if it was once or more than once, or what he did, or what exactly happened. He swears that for the past year, since we started living together, he has been totally faithful. Where do we go from here?
That's so tough. Because you're going to feel like the entire last few years are a lie. And I mean, first advice is just go into therapy. And I think, you know, if he told you, or if you found out, and he didn't tell you, I think he needs to be honest and come forward and say, you know, how many. So you have the full knowledge before you step forward together. Because if he doesn't, you know, since he didn't come forth and be a man and tell you up front, then, you know, and you found this out, well, I think it's important to, if he really cares and values the relationship, he should now be honest about what it was, because then you have the full knowledge and the full facts before you can make your decision on if it's something you can move forward with or not. Because what if it was like 10 something girls or whatever? Like, you need to know if it was just one time versus it's different. There are, and I always say it's not different. There's times when I'm like, oh, you know, it's one time or 30, like what. But it's silly. Like, you need to know the facts and have it sit where you feel like it would sit for you.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Jessica, you know, the fact that you had to find out, chances are, this isn't 100%, chances are he is minimizing the past, minimizing what happened, so he can brush it under the rug and move forward. Because as someone who's been that my entire life, that is what I did every single time. Minimized, rationalized, justified, and compartmentalized, and then try to move on. So that's probably what he's doing. Again, not for certain. I don't want you to hold that against him from Jump Street. But I think Jana is right. You know, it's up to you whether the number amount or what happened is a variable in the equation. Because, yeah, therapists will tell you later down the road, whether it was 1 or 100, like, the betrayal is still there, regardless. So that the big picture of that is still there. But it is different, not to justify a drunken mistake, but if it was this one-time thing that he regrets and he's never had communication with them and he hasn't done it since, that is different than, like Jana said, being with 10 other women or being with someone on a regular basis. So try to find out the facts.
Because you're entitled to them.
Yeah, you are entitled to them. Now,
don't ask for all the facts.
No.
There are certain facts.
I was going to say,
find the number and find, you know, when, and that's when and how many is really only the details that anyone needs to know. Because trust me, there are so many things I wish I could burn out of my memory for asking.
Yeah. Your hurt, your pain is going to want you to ask every question under the sun, and you're not going to want to know the answers to everything.
The only benefit of the doubt I can give this guy is how defined was the relationship in the first year of the relationship? It's possible there was some gray area there. I don't know. But if it was clearly defined, this is all bad. There's so much bad going on here, because you even said in your email, you found out he cheated. Not he told me. You found out. So it sounds like this was still an active deception up until this week. And the fact that he's still not coming clean is more deception. Mm-hmm. So
that's where it makes me think there's more than one, because he won't
say. Yes, that's why you should fear the worst, because if it was only one person one time, he would tell you that. So I feel like you should assume the worst. And if you're going to get past this, then I guess you got to make that decision and trust this guy. But I'm not sure how you move forward from here. To answer your question at the end of it, where do we go from here? I don't see a lot of good places to go from here, unless you guys go with total honesty, completely 100% from now on, including what happened 2 years ago.
Agreed.
It's always tough.
Yeah.
It's always tough. And at the end of the day, we empathize with you, Jessica, and sorry that you have to be going through this. But yeah, it's your decision, and we know it's hard to know where to go from here.
Well, on a side note, Michael and I get to go do couples therapy now. So here's to good times ahead.
It's going to be a great
session. You don't get credit for time served after this hour?
No. Right. That's what we...
We talked about all the fluff on here. Now we're going to get to the good stuff, Mark, and you can't be anywhere in sight.
Oh, man.
Mark can't produce our couples therapy session. See, this is where I get fearful, because I'm going into the session like, man, like, we've actually been pretty good. I don't really have anything on the top of my plate. And then we go in and I get blindsided by a Mack truck.
That was like the last week. Like last week, you like got on me about something, which I can't remember now what it was. But I was like, I thought we were good. Do you remember what that was about? Like something so out of the blue where I was like, what? I thought we were good. You had some complaint about me. And it seemed so big. And then I was just like, I was like, I thought we were good. Like we haven't fought. Like, do you remember what it was?
Is it when I felt taken advantage of?
No. It was after that. It was something else.
I don't remember.
Wow. See, isn't that crazy? It was because I got really defensive about it, which my work was bad, because I was like, I got really frustrated.
Yeah, you did.
Because I was like, where is this coming from?
And I wasn't even trying to like make a big deal about it. I was just expressing what was coming up. I don't remember.
Isn't that so funny?
That we forget?
Yeah.
I mean, thank goodness.
So then whatever happens today, you'll forget about it in a couple of weeks. So yay. No need to be afraid.
What's our email, Mark? Because I really would love more people to email us.
It's a great question. Easton?
winddown@iheartradio.com.
winddown@iheartradio.com. You guys email us. We'd love to talk about other people's stuff.
Yeah, love to talk out your shit in a good way, because we all have some. We all deal with it, and we should have different ways of going about it.
I love you guys. Have a nice fight.
Have a good fight.